You're listening to the Love is Black podcast.
We're the host of Fly.
The love is dope.
And the conversation's always 100.
Hello and welcome to your favorite podcast. It's Love is Black. I'm Harvey.
And I'm Carice.
And the season continues with love. We're kind of winding down to the end, but it doesn't mean like the love stories are any different. There's still fire. I'm still loving it. I'm still feeling the goodness. How about you, baby?
You sound so emotional.
I know, don't I? Like, I almost shed a little.
Are you gonna cry when the season ends?
I don't really cry.
You don't
cry. I don't cry. I'm not that emo type of person. Yeah. I'm stoic.
You know what? Season 3, we should talk about hashtag tissue fatalities.
No, we're not going to do that. No, we're not going to do that. No. Look, you trying to put my business out there. I don't know you like that, baby.
Now people are intrigued. Now they want to know.
Okay, don't worry. That even I'm going to find something of yours. I'm just going to hashtag go.
Okay.
Blah, blah. We'll see what happens.
Do it.
Okay. Do it live. You talk bigger until I bring out some stuff.
Well, I am super excited for tonight's episode. It's going to be really exciting to hear what's going on in the depths of this couple because they've got such a great social media presence. And so to get behind those beautiful pictures, it's fantastic today to be talking to Gabby and Tom.
Yay!
Welcome, guys. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having us.
Yes, thank you.
Yes, we are excited. So let's just jump right in. Where does your love story begin? How did you two meet?
You want to take it off?
We met in 2005. I was a senior in high school and he was a junior. And we met at a Battle of the Drumline event. Yes. We both were big band geeks. He played percussion, I played saxophone, and his school was performing at Mines.
Note that they were rival schools.
Yes.
So that was the only day to this day that we were invited and probably on your turf. So
Right.
It's kind of like it was meant to be that day. So, you can go ahead and kick off on
home. We met at a Battle of the Drumlines and,
So I was the drum captain, and her job on her end was to come and bring the different schools into the arena when they were ready to perform. So her job came in and said, "Are you guys ready?" And I remember hearing the voice. I didn't see the face because I was so tunnel vision at the time. But I made some slick comment.
He's like, "We always ready.
We always ready," you know, because we was on her turf. But make a long story short, she guided us to the arena and we did our thing. And yes, I had braids. If you judge by the pictures, I had braids at that moment.
He was so confused in this part.
Like,
are they gonna know that he's white first of all?
Wow.
I think that's
like cornrow braids.
They were struggling. The braids were a struggle. I don't know who did them, but they were struggling. But I looked past that because he was still so cute and he had these little plump lips. And And after the performance, I sent one of my friends down to tell him that I thought he was cute. And then she gave him my number. And then I like waited a week to call and we've been together ever since.
Yeah, she got my number, and that was on a Friday night. And my best friend actually went to her school, so I never got the phone call. So I was like, "Oh, she done stood me up, and I got catfished or something." And so he showed me the yearbook picture, and I told him, I said, "Hey, Monday, when you go to school, tell her to call me. I need her to call me." She never called.
You know, you got to play it smooth.
She played it smooth.
So hard to get, you know?
Yeah. So that Wednesday following, she gives me a call, and we literally talked from 7 p.m. probably to about 2 a.m. in the morning. One call. We never hung up, never called back. And I literally told her at that point, I had made us official.
I didn't know though.
I told her by the time we got on the phone, I said, I am already in love with you. And I can tell you right now, we're going to be together for a long time. Wow. And of course, she was like, you know, he's so full of it. And what is this guy talking about? I've never even met the guy, you know. And the next day, she told me she was at the local library. So I sped in my little bootleg truck and went to go meet her for the first time. And obviously, she wouldn't let me drive her home. So she was playing hard to get again, but we kept talking.
I told you he was a talker, right?
We made it official. So
that's
chapter
long,
one.
Yeah, long version.
That's chapter one. So from there, she graduated. And she went to Albany State. She ended up changing her collegiate decision because she found out I wanted to go to Albany State.
Right.
Let's put that out there.
Ooh,
okay. She wanted to go to Clark, Atlanta. Gosh. Why, I don't know. But she went to Albany, and then I met her down there the following year. We moved in immediately, got our first apartment. And from there, that was just building our foundation blocks of a successful marriage. We learn how to live with each other.
Do you need him to take a pause? I'm sorry.
And,
no, it's
deal with each other's flaws. You know, so all I'm gonna say is I learned quickly. High school relationship is much different when you move in, because pet peeves that you did not know will arise. You know, I didn't know you did this, or I didn't know you slept like this, or whatever the case may be, and you learn to mold yourself into that. And from there, you can take it off since I've talked so much.
Well, I want to cut in there just a little bit just to ask about the college experience. So since you guys already had that relationship that started in high school, was there any issues in bringing that now to college? Did that interrupt what you thought your college experience would really be? Did that interrupt you guys making certain types of friends or whatever, being out and open?
Yeah, I would say yes, especially that my freshman year, because he was still in high school. My freshman year in college was his senior year in high school. So that first year was a long distance relationship for us. And I felt, before I graduated high school, I was like, yeah, I'm about to go to college. I'm going to be away from my parents. I'm going to get loose. I'm just going to do whatever I want to do. I'm going to have fun. And I met him like in March, and I graduated in May, and we started dating immediately. So when we started dating, I was like, I really like this guy, but I also want to go and have fun and, you know, just live the life. So I had to make a conscious decision, I think, that freshman year to, okay. And I guess I was fearful that if I'm going to be in a relationship with him and he's 2 hours away, I don't know what he's doing. And then I could be down here being just this perfect angel, and then he gets down here and breaks my heart, and it's all over and said and done. That was my biggest fear. And my friends were telling me, girl, just come on, go out with us, do this. I would not go out. I didn't party at all. Instead, I would stay at home and talk to him on the phone. So looking back, yes, it did change the scope, I think, of our college experience and mine. But looking back, I believe that it was for the best. Like, I don't regret the decisions that I made.
Yeah. And I mean, even when I got down there, I guess you could say our relationship got much more serious, because we didn't do a lot of partying in the club either. It was like marriage. I mean, we worked full-time jobs and went to college, came home, paid bills, went to work, went to school, and, you know, we didn't see each other the whole day. So I think, going back on what I was saying, is that it kind of laid the foundation blocks to build us and prepare us for where we are now.
Yeah, for sure.
But shortly after that, That was in 2007 or so. We decided we wanted to, we got married in 2010, which was 5 years after we started dating. And 2 years after that, we decided we wanted to grow our family. But we wanted to come back home. And so we moved back to where we are, just to be closer to family. And from there, that's pretty much we are. We've just been growing and growing and growing. And now we're blessed with three beautiful kids and couldn't be happier.
All right. So I have a question. So
yes, sir.
I think we've kind of the timeline, we kind of start to finish. Let's dive in a little bit. First question, high school, white guy, black girl. Let's just get into it. You know, elephant in the room. Mm-hmm. What kind of backlash, friends, family, what was it like?
Well, as far as high school, I grew up in a predominantly, you know, black neighborhood and side of town in high school. So it's always been in my blood anyways. But
dude had cornrows in high school.
That's true. She did mention something about questionable cornrows. So that was meant. So it was meant to be.
So you know, it kind of.
As far as friends and like
family.
As far as friends go, no backlash, no anything like that. He's always dated black girls. He was my first real boyfriend, but the guys that were my friends, my little friends, as my mom would say, back then were white. So that part wasn't anything new. As far as family is concerned, there was more of a resistance, or I would say backlash, since that's the term you use, from his side of the family than mine. My family welcomed him with open arms from pretty much since day one. He came in calling my mom mama. He came in calling my dad dad. My grandmother, who was like the granddaughter of slaves, right? She was, and when she first met him, she was real timid, but she was timid around any white person. We're in the South too, so that adds a level of depth also.
That was the first time that ever happened to me. Like, I remember, you know, because like I said, I've been around anybody and everybody. I love everybody, and I'm just that kind of person to talk. But the first time I met her grandma, she was like, who is this white guy coming to me? I was real like, what's going on? But
that didn't last long. She quickly grew to love him. And I think she loved him more than me before she died. So that changed quickly. Now, as far as his family, not so much. His mother's side, I love her dearly. She loves me dearly. His sisters and brothers are wonderful. I mean, his sister is wonderful, but his father's side is where we got a lot of issues with.
And
he grew up, you know, I tell him all the time, you have to be careful how you raise your kid or what you say around your kids, because what you demonstrate that you hate, they end up loving. And he would tell me stories of his dad having so-called black friends, but as soon as they leave, he's spewing the N-word.
Yeah.
Or he's saying the N-word, the stuff that he sees on TV. So when I came in, I tried to come in with as much as an open mind. I already knew that about him. He gave me that, listen, my dad is kind of like this, but
acts like this.
And his whole, that whole side of the family. So I tried to come in with, you know, to defy all the stereotypes that maybe they perceived negatively about black people, to go against those and to keep an open mind and try to be loving for them to get to know me for my personality. But, you know, I quickly realized that
some people just don't change.
You can't, sometimes you can't teach an old dog a new trick, in a sense. And it just, I can't remember. I think he hasn't had a relationship with his dad since 9 years. Because the straw that brought the camel back, after we got married, we had our daughter 2 years later, And everything was pretty much cool and copacetic up until the time that I got pregnant and it was time for her to be born. And he called his dad to let him know that, hey, she's almost here. Our first child is a girl. She's almost here. We're at the hospital. His dad said he was coming and he didn't come. And that broke his heart.
Yeah.
And from there, y'all had a conversation, right?
No. Let me backpedal just a little bit so I can highlight it. So the year before, it was Father's Day, was literally the last time we had a deep conversation. And he was working on his truck and went to this
house. I want to say this too, but to give you some, to preface it more, he was raised by his dad.
Yeah.
So his parents were divorced, and in the divorce, his dad got full custody of him. So he was raised in the household with his dad, to give more substance to it.
But yeah, the last time that we really had a deep conversation was Father's Day. And I just remember I had gave him this card and I wrote this real long message because we were in talks of having starting a family. Now, we had been married and I thought everything had somewhat breezed over and started to change, but you know, that wasn't the case. But I remember he read the card literally and just looked at it and then just threw it and just kept doing what he was doing. And my sister was there and she kind of just gave me a look and she's like, look, you know, it takes two people to have a relationship. And she was giving me heads up then. She's like, if he doesn't want to be part of you and your marriage, you're gonna have to cut that string. And I was just kind of being, you know,
naive
about optimistic. Yeah, you know, just hoping that he would change. So leading up, now she's pregnant. I remember I can even go to my aunt. My aunt was watching TV and I told her and my grandmother, hey, we're expecting a child. And the fact that I didn't get no kind of response out of her, she was more interested in what was on TV than me announcing I'm about to have a baby, kind of just like shot me in the heart, like, why am I even here? So I left, you know, and I called my mom and she's crying, she's happy. And I'm like, damn, why I can't get that from everybody else? So fast forward to, this is probably around January or February, because our daughter was born in March. And his birthday is in March. And she was actually supposed to have the same birth date as my father, and which is Elvis's birthday, let him tell it. But so he was so excited. Oh, she's going to be on my birthday, you know, and there was so many talks that, you know, I thought that he was actually excited about being a grandparent for the first time. And so we talked up to that point. A few weeks go by, we're at the hospital, literally everybody is there but him. And I know probably one of the reasons was my stepmom, because anytime my mom was in the building or on the premises in anywhere, she would not allow him to be anywhere in that same area. But it also could be just how he was. And I was, you know, like she said, I was texting him, you know, hey, she's almost here. She's crowning. We have hair, you know, that, and so forth. Never showed. 6 months later, he calls and leaves me a voicemail and says that I'm sorry. I haven't been around. I've just been busy. Now, I remind you, at the time where we were living, I was living in my aunt's house. She was renting her house up to us because we were saving to buy our own house. So he knew where we lived. You know, he had been over the house prior, before that. So him telling me that was like straight, you know, BS. I don't want to hear that. And that was the last time I talked to him. And it was probably 2 years later. I'll say it, everybody. I worked at Chuck E. Cheese at the time. I was a manager there. And he was coming in for a birthday party for his step-granddaughter. And he walks in and he tells me, he's, hey, how's life been? You know, and I just looked at him with the most straight, nonchalant face. I've been living my life. Now you can get out of mine. And that was the last time I seen him. And that was 10 years ago.
Almost 10, yeah.
So, and I don't have no regrets, you know. At the end of the day, I can say I tried. But his loss, not mine. Because now he's missing out on 3 grandkids. So, if that answers your question, as far as backlash.
Wow. Okay. Well.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, I want to spin it to a little bit more happy, positive. Mm-hmm. Okay.
There we go.
let's go back a little to when you guys knew that you were going to get married. Like, is there a nice proposal story? What's the wedding story, the planning, any tension in the relationship during that time? Give us a little bit about that.
So the whole proposal part came about like this. We had been dating. We had been living together since my sophomore year in college, and I was gearing up to graduate. And I had like a few months left, and I said, look, I like you and all, I love you and all, but once I graduate and we move back to where we're from, I'm not moving back and shacking up where I'm from. Like, that's not, my family knew that we were living together, but I wasn't going to go back home and live together. It just wasn't gonna happen. I said, so either you can change that, or, I mean, we can still be together, but we're not going to live together. But if we're going to live together, we're going to need to be married. And 2 months later, she proposed. Pretty much, that was it. We moved back.
Yeah, we moved back. We got married in Aruba.
Ooh.
Again, we were young and broke.
Not that broke.
We weren't broke. But,
we wanted a wedding, but the thing that he was raised Catholic and I was Baptist. And this is before the whole breakdown with his dad and everything. So when it came to start planning the wedding, we were getting some type of resistance from his grandmother, who was like a devout Catholic, his dad's mom. And she was like, well, I'm not going to, I want to have it at my church. And she wasn't wanting to attend or even for a wedding, a Baptist church. And when my mom and my family found out about that, you know, they started da 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 da. So you're like, you know what? We're just going to tell everybody we're going on vacation. And when we come back, we're going to be married already. So we eloped.
Okay.
Something like that. Is that what you call it?
That's a lope, yeah.
I call it getting married on an island by ourselves.
It's a lope. We eloped. Isn't that elopement?
Yep.
We eloped. Like it was nobody there, yeah. But it was just us and the minister who married us on the beach. It was beautiful.
Yes.
So. Oh.
That sounds- but one day we will.
You want to do the real thing?
We're going to do the real
thing. There's some people who spend, you know, plan for years for these big weddings, spend thousands and thousands of dollars and not even make it to the first anniversary. So
I'm not trying to make a mockery and I'm not trying to be funny, but I'm now Baptist. I have changed to being Baptist and I want to jump over the broom.
Okay.
That's an African American.
But that's why
you can't change that part of you, Tom. I'm sorry.
Michael did. Michael Jackson. I'm just saying.
You got to convert to something else, Tom, if you want to jump the broom. I don't think you can do that, bro.
I got to figure something out.
So, Gabby, can I ask this? So, obviously, the situation with your dad is kind of, that's tough. That's deep.
Oh, with him.
Right. Yeah, I mean.
He's answering a question, but he talks. I'm telling you.
It's cool. It's all good. My question is for you, Gabby, though. So how are you feeling while this is happening? And I'm not, and I don't want it to feel like I keep harping on the negative.
That's fine.
But this is part of the relationship. This is going to be a dynamic that you would have to deal with. So while he's going through this, where are you? In terms of like, not, I mean, you're not doing anything, but you're kind of bringing about this kind of conflict with him and his family. How do you feel while this is happening?
I just felt really hurt for him. And I still feel hurt for him. I was trying to encourage him to just love his daddy in spite of. And I told him that if he wanted to have a relationship with him, you know, that was fine and dandy. But at this time, I have this brand new baby that is Black. When anyone sees our children, they see Black children. They don't see biracial children, half white children. They see them as Black children, especially if you believe in just Black and white, like his dad does and like that side of his family does. So my biggest thing right then, fresh with this brand new baby, is protector mom mode. Have your relationship with your dad, but I don't want my children to have any type of part of that, because I didn't want them to feel anything less than love. And I didn't want them to feel anything less than, you know what I mean? Because he has a stepsister from that side that had a child. And I knew that they loved on that child. So, and that child is all white. I didn't want to bring my children in and for them to be anything less than that other child. So at that time, I was like, listen, have a relationship with your dad. That's what God wants you to do. God wants you to love in spite of. At the end of the day, that's still your father. You still would not be here without him. But as far as me and my child, I didn't want to mix those worlds. Now, if his dad would have came at some point with some type of empathy or sympathy and wanted to create some type of bridge, I would have been open to that, because I do also believe that children have a way of bringing about a change in people. Mm-hmm. And I was hoping that that could be the case with his dad. But here we are 9 years later, our daughter's 9, that he hasn't heard anything from his dad. And we live in the same city, you know? So that's where I was at that moment. At this, and now presently, there's no way, like I tell him when we talk about this, it still comes up from time to time. There's nothing neither one of my kids can do that could make me disown them or make me not worry about them and want to know how they're doing. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Yeah. 9 years, 9 weeks couldn't go by without me finding out where my child is, what they're doing, and how they're doing. You cannot like me at the moment, but I'm going to love you regardless, period. Yeah. So for his dad to have that stance, to me, I'm like, I'm good.
I hear that.
Absolutely.
All right.
It's an important conversation
yeah.
to have, at least from the perspective of the podcast. So I appreciate you guys sharing that much and sharing so much, because mm-hmm. you know, as we tell these dynamic stories, so we've talked to 24 or 23 other couples so far this
oh, wow. season.
Yeah. And as we tell these dynamic stories of these various couples, there's so many challenges that people have to overcome. And no matter what the relationship looks like, whether it's a young one or an old one, or you know, whether there's an age gap or a racial disparity or it's same sex, there's always something that is important to share, that we all have similar struggles and yet still we are able to overcome them and continue to love, that Black love is dynamic, you know. So thank you awesome. For sharing that.
I awesome, think that's awesome, really awesome. Important.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
I wanted to ask about after you got married. So you were living together in college, then decide to get married, you come back home. Anything changed? Does marriage change the relationship in any which way, shape, or form? Or is it kind of just more of the same?
More of the same.
Yeah, I would definitely say the same. You know, that goes back to what I was saying, you know, dating in high school and then moving into each other. I remember when we first moved in and we had our first argument and it was a blowout. Like, you know, I never would imagine me and her arguing. You know, the day she left that I had to say to go to bye because she was going to college, I broke down in my car. Nobody knows that but her. Well, everybody knows now, but I literally broke down because something in my gut told me I was going to lose her, that this was just summer love. And if anybody can say anything about me, I love hard. Mm-hmm. And so in my mind, that's what I thought was going to happen, which that kind of was her. She wanted to wild out, but she didn't tell me that. But so when we first moved in and we had that first argument, I was like, I didn't know you did this or you did that, or I didn't know you left a dish in the sink and then wipe it down or whatever the case is, you know, something stupid like that. In our case, it truly prepared us.
I would say you never truly know anyone until you live with them. And I was just telling my sister, she's dating now. Yeah, you never really know anyone until you live with them. And that could be a deal breaker in itself, honestly.
Keep talking. Absolutely. I would say that to a certain extent, and I may have mentioned this before, but to a certain extent, you almost don't even know yourself, because, you know, when we were talking about moving in, Harvey and I was telling him, like, oh, I'm going to be really easy to live with. You know, I have two brothers, you know, and I just let whatever fly. That's not true. I was telling him a whole lie, a whole lie, because once we got in to common space, it was like, that's not okay. I didn't know you do that.
Exactly. Same for us. Same for yourself us.
And the other one. Like, you're like, oh, okay. Maybe I am different.
Exactly. A big one was for us was the temperature. Like, he likes to be super cold and I like to be like room temp, and that was a big thing. He likes sleeping with no covers. I got to be covered. It could be 90 degrees out. I need whatever we got to do to make it to where I can sleep with covers. I got to sleep with covers. So we had to, yeah, it's definitely a learning curve, especially when you're young. We were still figuring ourselves out, like you mentioned. So what we like and didn't like individually, and then bringing that together as a unit.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I hear you.
Yeah, we were similar in that we got together, and then like that first day, she didn't like the way that I washed them dishes. Like, she didn't appreciate like the way I held the sponge. And like, wow, that's what happened. Like, I'm washing dishes because that's what I do. And like, she's lurking behind me, and I can feel her with a stone cold gaze on my shoulder. Like, how you wipe down the plate? That's how you wash. You didn't put the sponge in the little holder. It was like, and she had told me, like, it's said,
respect the process. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You have to respect the process. I'm that way with the dishwasher. Like, you can't just put dishes in there. It has to be a certain way.
She don't even like dishwasher, so you know she.
You don't. Okay. You don't.
Wow. It's not
about good point. It's not a ride. It's not about your dislike of dishwasher. I feel you. Right. So we kind of talked about you're dating, you're married, your child. Give us an idea of how becoming parents affected your marriage.
It definitely added more value to it in my case. It definitely, I think, solidified the deal. And I would definitely say, as far as teamwork, you know, before we had kids, financially, I guess you could say we were a team. You know, every dollar was spent. You got to conversate that with somebody. But when you have a child, especially, you know, at the newborn stage, teamwork is a different kind of team. You know, who's going to wake up this night? Who's going to, you know, change this poopy diaper and thus forth? And that to me, that's how I take it.
Strengthen the team. Same, yeah, for sure. After our first child, I was like, okay, I really don't want to. I think I'm going to keep him because he. I just I mean, that really solidified it with me because he's an amazing, awesome dad. As far as waking up in the middle of the night, like, I wasn't that girl. He was that guy. Once I got done, like, breastfeeding to the point where, or once I got to the stage of pumping, he was the one waking up at night. And from what I hear, a lot of dads are not about that life. So, and he's just so attentive and caring. It's like, I think, yeah, I'm going to keep him. Yeah, for sure. And I think I'm going to do this again with him too. But yeah, and it strengthened our relationship. It really didn't bring any
tension.
No, we really didn't go through that. Yeah. I know a lot of couples do where a new baby comes in, it's like they start to hate each other or resent one another. And we never really went through that stage, thankfully.
Yeah.
That's a blessing. That's a testament to your relationship. Absolutely.
Children can be a stressor. You know, you can.
Now they are that.
They are.
They're definitely that. But I guess because we had been together by the time Madison came around 7 years, we kind of knew how to play off of one another and to be a team.
Yeah.
So.
I carry you when you fall and vice versa.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's good.
Yeah.
That's good. All right. So I ask this question to every couple throughout this season. I think we're kind of building, you know, tools and tips and ideas of what a really good marriage is. But one thing that's important to realize is that a marriage really is just an amalgamation of two people. You started off as two single people. And you got together and now you're a couple.
Mm-hmm.
My question is this, and it's for each of you. So take a minute and kind of contemplate this. What or why are you a better person because of this marriage? What did the other person bring out of you that made you better because you're married?
Oh, that's easy for me. Before Tom, when we first got together, I was a brat. Super spoiled, super temperamental, super, it's either my way or the highway, right? And I was very rah, you know, aggressive in it. Like I'm independent. Yeah, I'm young, but I'm independent and you're not going to change that. He is a more passive person. He's more compassionate. He's just, I know they can't see that, but he's just, he calmed me in a way that nobody else could calm me. You took the edge off of me in a sense. It just made me more relaxed. Like, you don't have to pop off right now. We can talk about this. And one thing about it, like when we first started dating, I was quick to, let me tell you something. I don't know who you think you're talking to, but what you're not gonna do in this and that. And he was more like, uh-huh. And I would try to argue. But the thing about him, it takes a lot to get him to argue and then to get to that point, and that would anger me more because he wouldn't match my anger or my intensity. But then after a while, you realize you're an idiot because you're sitting here arguing with yourself. He would just walk off or leave or whatever, and I'm sitting there still mad at myself. So to answer your question, he made me a better person by just cooling me off, basically. I'm very slow to anger now.
Nice.
Very slow. I'm so chill. He's made me chill.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Good job.
Yeah. Yeah.
For me, I would definitely say, as far as her and the family, they've taken a lot of my competitiveness away. So I'm not so, I'm better than you kind of mentality now. I'm kind of like just even with it. And she's kind of taught me to be mindful, to seek the reward versus for us all versus just for myself. Not saying that I was selfish. Not saying that I was, you know, in that kind of sense, but she definitely just gives me a new thing to look forward to every day. And just to work hard and provide for my family, which is something I did not have growing up. So.
I love it.
I like that. I
love it. Fantastic. I've enjoyed your love story. I think you guys have such a beautiful story with such deep foundation to it, because you've been together from when you were barely people. Because honestly, you know, those late high school years, you're not even really like your whole self yet.
For sure.
Barely people to like real true maturity. I love it. I think you guys have such a beautiful family, a lovely,
thank you,
lovely love story, and so much to be admired. If our listeners are looking to catch up with you, where can they find you? What are you guys up to now? Let us know any sort of promotional whatever.
We don't really have anything promotional, but they can find us at Gabby_and_Tom on IG, Gabby and Tom on YouTube. And Gabby and Tom on TikTok.
Oh, yes, you're on TikTok, you guys also.
On TikTok. Okay. We don't follow you on TikTok.
Okay.
Are y'all on TikTok?
No.
No. I fought that for the longest time. I fought it forever. But like, you know, we have kids, and one of my daughters lives on TikTok.
Yeah.
So I got the app. Let me look. And now it's just a problem.
We're on it to watch. Videos,
right?
Because you'll get stuck on TikTok watching forever. Well, mm-hmm.
For sure. Mm-hmm.
So we would watch all your videos, but no, we don't post any.
No, we don't do that.
I think y'all should change that.
Yeah, let us do the game.
Once you start, I'm letting you know now, but once you start, it's kind of addicting.
Yes.
So that's a good suggestion. We should definitely look into the possibility of making our own video and stop, you know, stalking other people's videos.
Yeah.
Probably. But we're going to look into Gabby and Tom on TikTok, Instagram, and YouTube.
Okay.
Yes.
Thank you guys immensely again for sharing your story.
For sure. Thanks for having us. We enjoyed it.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. Yes.
Well, Harvey, I think that at the end of this, we've come to a very sound conclusion, because I almost used the word before I was about to use the word. The sound conclusion that love is solid.
As a rock.
Yes. Dun, oh my God. Dun, I was thinking dun, that too. Yes. Yes.
And
wait, like, we'll, I gotta do the rest of it.
Okay.
Love is many things.
But this good love is black.
Thanks for listening to the Love is Black podcast.
Please help support the podcast by subscribing and leaving a review.
And connect with us on Facebook and Instagram at Love is Black Podcast.
See you next week.